Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
They have a one timeout left. You better hurry.
Oh, no.
Oh, this is disaster in the making here. You're going to have to do something when it comes down to this play. Incomplete, and the game is over. Completely botched at the end by the Bears.
So, Matt, you have certainty that you're coaching the 49ers game?
The operation's been normal. And again, I'm confident that I'll be working onto San Francisco and getting ready for that game.
Significant changes for the Chicago Bears. For the first time in franchise history, they have made a move to fire their head coach during the season.
Excited about the opportunity. Welcome to challenge. It's all hands on deck.
We are in a unique situation. This will be the most coveted job in the National Football League this year.
There are going to be hits and there are going to be misses. And the key is you have to have more hits than misses. So that is the challenge.
It's going to be a diverse group. There's going to be different backgrounds from offense, defense, special teams, college, pro. We are turning every stone to make sure that we're doing this the right way.
The Bears have made a head coaching decision. What do we know?
Yeah, Laura, the Chicago Bears are hiring Ben Johnson as their offensive coordinator, despite the fact that many people thought that Ben Johnson would wind up in Las Vegas. Chicago lands the plane.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. They got him. The Bears signed Ben Johnson. That was the hottest guy on the market. That is the guy that Caleb Williams talked about working with for what, 15, 17 years?
Morning, Molly. Yes, happy Tuesday. And Chicago still celebrating. And I think it's a mixture of euphoria and disbelief because the Bears got their guy. And I think a lot of us wondered if they could pull it off. But they talked big, and now they are going big. Big Ben. Ben Johnson is the head coach of the Chicago Bears. It's hard to believe, but this is the right move at the right time. We'll talk about how they stepped up and what they did to get him here. I was stunned when I got the news on Monday afternoon. I really was surprised because of how quickly it all happened. And then you step back and you think, it's happening. And who they're bringing to town. And he'll be here today. And this is a new era for the Bears. And they have to be very, very excited.
High time that Tom Brady didn't get something he wanted. Right? Weren't we worried about Tom?
That's part of the disbelief.
Yeah.
He basically told Tom Brady no.
That's right.
He told Tom Brady no. And all of the reasons that we articulated and explained and thought we knew, all of those reasons for going somewhere else didn't apply. And no. I think that's one of the things that we'll look forward to hearing from Ben Johnson about. What about the Bears' challenge and opportunity appeal to him more than the other jobs that were open and that were offered to him, basically?
Yeah, I mean, look, it is it's a huge win for the Bears.
Yes.
Perception-wise, it's just a big win. They claimed that their job was the most coveted, and then the most coveted guy took their job. So I think that whatever questions you have about the number of interviews they went through or the number of interviews they completed versus the number that they wanted to, they did a very complete search. And they found the guy that was the obvious candidate right in front
exhaustive.
Of them.
It was an exhaustive search.
I was exhausted.
It was an exhausting search. And I think along the way, in real time, we did criticize or at least wonder if they knew what they were looking for, because the list was 20-plus and the number of interviews was 17. And when you go and you conduct a search that vast and that exhaustive, you wonder if they are able to zero in and hone in on what they're going to want and what they were going to need. Turned out all along, the guy everybody wanted was the guy that the Bears were zeroed in on.
Right.
And maybe...
And he them.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. He understands the value of coming to a franchise that has a quarterback that is as good and has as much potential as Caleb Williams has. And I think in the final analysis, all of the things that we talked about in terms of the alignment with the front office and some of the other things that might have been more appealing at other jobs that we talked about, the fact is those were concepts. And the real quarterback, having a real quarterback in place.
Big difference.
Wasn't that the difference?
Yeah. I think Caleb Williams was a difference. I think there were a couple of things. I think that the guy has designed game plans for 3 years for the division opponents. He has an intimate knowledge of the Detroit Lions. So he's devising game plans to beat Minnesota, to beat Green Bay, and he knows the Lions inside and out, and he knows the Bears. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an advantage to not leave the division. I think that I don't know that that had anything to do with his final decision, but it is an advantage.
I think it's a bonus.
Yeah.
It's a bonus for him taking over a team where he has such familiarity with the opponents in the division, in the NFC North. He's ready to take the North because he knows what it takes. And maybe he understands that the Lions are going to have maybe a coaching deficit now, and they may come back to earth a little bit. The Vikings, you wonder about their future at the quarterback position, and are they going to really win 14 games again? The Packers maybe are stable, but Ben Johnson comes to the Bears probably with the idea that this was an underachieving roster.
Yes.
And he sees talent there, and he also sees ways that Caleb Williams was being squandered and his potential was being wasted. And so he comes in ready to take advantage of all of the talents of a young quarterback.
And they got nearly $75 million in cap space. They got the number 10 pick in the draft.
Yeah.
I mean, we know what the flaws are. But they've got a lot of money. They got a lot of draft capital. And
it's the NFL. You know the NFL. They probably go into next year feeling like after free agency and after the draft that they will be in a position to make a run for the playoffs.
Right.
And if you're not thinking that way, I don't think you're paying attention, because I think that Ben Johnson comes here, he's going to pick the Bears not because he looks at this as a rebuild or a total reset. This is probably a tweak here, a player there. And they're going to be ready to go, ready to try to chase 10 victories. That's a good starting point. I don't know if it's realistic. There's a long way to go in the offseason, but this is a great first step.
It's a great first step. And it's really a good day to have that behind us, right? To know that that's been done. You know, obviously the national championship game was last night.
Yeah.
My brother and his son were at the game.
You had to bring that up.
They were very excited. Well, I mean,
I know. It was.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So you get that good news from the Bears in the afternoon, and that leads you into the national championship. And boy, Notre Dame started that game strong.
That 18-play drive was epic.
It was wonderful.
And you started to think it was possible.
And then it ended pretty quickly.
It did end pretty quickly. I mean, Ohio State did what we thought they could do.
Sure.
They took over. They had some real strong advantages. Notre Dame falls behind, never gives up. You never got a sense that they were really going to threaten Ohio State in the end.
No.
But they did play very hard down to the last drive. I wondered about the decision to kick the field goal on fourth and goal from the 9 that Marcus Freeman talked about post-game. That might have been a situation. You score a touchdown there, you get it to one possession. But it was an uphill battle. Ohio State.
Well, they were down 8 at one point. That's one possession.
But when they were down 16 and they kicked the field goal missed it.
Right.
They doinked it off.
Oh, I know.
And you score a touchdown there, and maybe you have a different outlook and maybe a different outcome.
You don't know how Ohio State's going to react, too, if you come back and all of a sudden you're threatening them. The problem was the defense was a no-show, David.
Yeah, they did not have the good night.
They did not stop them at all. It was like watching that Bills game where the Ravens were the only team that could stop the Ravens. And it felt that way. Like, unless Ohio State had a holding penalty or a turnover, other than that, there was going
to
score.
Will Howard completed any pass that he wanted to in the first half. And then when they needed a big play and third down, Jeremiah Smith got open man coverage. That's a problem because he's as dynamic of a receiver as you're going to find in college football.
No doubt.
And Ohio State took care of business. Notre Dame had a great season. And, yeah, so yesterday was a huge football day, a huge news day for football fans in Chicago. The surprise of Ben Johnson in the afternoon and the disappointment of Notre Dame falling short at night to Ohio State, unless you were rooting for the Buckeyes.
I wasn't. I was rooting for Notre Dame. Because
family ties?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a complete jerk, no matter what you think of me. I did feel that... I thought there was some hope there early, and I thought it was really good to see. It's just, unfortunately, it wasn't sustainable. Really hard to run your quarterback like that. A lot of that was short yardage, kind of driving, running game stuff. And look, I don't feel like the better team lost, let's put it that way. I thought the better team
won. You don't feel that way. There was nothing fluky about Ohio State's run through the college football playoff. The fluky game that they played was against Michigan, as it turns out.
That's exactly right.
When they got in a phone booth, as they say, and Michigan beat them up and then beat them. Totally. I think you look at what Ohio State did in response to that, and you've got to give credit to Ryan Day for not losing his team and for regrouping in the way that Notre Dame did after losing to Northern Illinois. And Ohio State, they maxed out with their potential, and they had the most talented roster in college football. And last night, you were reminded of that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's just that's the way things fell, and it was a pity. But I feel like we had to mention the national championship game.
Well, huge.
Before too long.
Yeah.
But the news of the day is obviously Ben Johnson and what that represents for the future. I mean, here's a guy who in the last 3 years as an offensive coordinator had his team in the top five every year, including number one last year in terms of scoring offense, and that
it was historically good.
That's what the Bears need.
They need to score on offense. And that's what the Bears need. And I think everyone could agree on that going into this process. I think what we talked about on a regular basis was our doubt that the Bears could pull it off, only because of the history of them not pulling off things like this. They never get the guy that everyone wants.
No, you're right.
They're never the winner of the beauty pageant, right?
No,
they're always
so
runners up. And so yesterday they got their guy. And I think that of all of the talk that we had about the process, as we had tried to be consistent with, the outcome outweighed the process. When you have a candidate that everybody is seeking and you end up with him signing a contract, this does feel like a new era because the Bears are paying Ben Johnson in a way that reflects a new approach.
Yeah, they're paying a lot of money, man. I didn't know they had it in them.
I didn't either.
Given $9 million to Flusi to go away, right?
And Shane Waldron.
Yeah, they're paying
a lot of money.
Shane Waldron's
being paid $5 million not to coach.
Yeah.
Matt Eberflus, $9 million not to coach. That's
right.
14.
Right.
So, and Ben Johnson reportedly.
$12.5 million? Is that what you
Yeah.
Said? That's
just
a lot
shy
of
$13 million to coach.
Shocking amount for
the
Bears.
The Chicago Bears. It is for the Bears.
Yeah, yeah. And who knows what that coaching staff's going to look like. There's a report out there that he's trying to put together like an all-star cast of assistant coaches. That would be magnificent.
Well, Dennis Allen, the defensive coordinator, former head coach.
Yeah.
Darren Rizzi, special teams coordinator, interim head coach with a great reputation in the league. He is a guy that has been rumored, if he doesn't get a head coaching opportunity, could be coming to Chicago. The other coaches have that have been rumored, highly respected yes. guys. It sounds like Ben Johnson has been working on the staff for a while.
Yeah, I mean, he's had the time to. He's been the number one guy in the cycle now 2 years running. So
yeah.
that you right. know, and I hope that aids him when he gets here. But that I'll tell you what, you get good coaching staff in here, that'll aid everybody.
Let's take a step back deal. Though and pause for a moment because yeah. like we just went over that kind of casually. $12.5 million, if that is indeed accurate, and I have no reason to believe it wouldn't be, the Bears being willing and open and able to pay their head coach that much money, how surprised are you that they were able to step up and do that, the willingness to do that? Because, Molly, that's a huge leap for a team that was paying their head coach $4.5 million.
Incredible.
This is more than double that. It's three times that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
For a guy who has never been a head coach before.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with that, and it tells me that they're serious. It's as simple as that. They made a lot of claims about how good the job was, how everybody would want it, how they would get it done. And we tried to be patient and wait for it, but man, there was just a lot of noise surrounding the thing, and it was, you know, the Vrabel thing. You know, it just seemed like they weren't ready to move. They got, I'll tell you, when I woke up on what morning was it, Saturday or Sunday, and heard that the Eddie George news, I was like, what?
That was Sunday morning.
Was that yeah. Sunday? I was momentarily confused. Last I saw Eddie, we had him in studio.
Yes, but he was performing.
He was performing in the play Chicago.
Yes.
And he got me two tickets. I took my wife. We sat in like the third row.
I remember that.
And
yes.
I watched the guy, the gun. I watched him perform in like a Broadway show
yeah,
of the, of
I remember
the play
that.
Chicago.
He could not have been nicer.
He couldn't have been. He was excellent.
As
in
I
the
said
play.
Yesterday, he was familiar with being on stage in Chicago.
Oh my God.
So he was the ideal candidate.
But that was like, I was just like, whoa. And then, you know, what, like you start thinking about getting the Rooney rule.
It was strategic.
It was strategic. And I got a lot of time for Eddie George. I mean, we talked to him and the guy gave me tickets to a play.
He does a great job on Chicago Sports Network every week, being an analyst on the big college football show. He's the coach at Tennessee State.
Yes,
but the Bears, I think, I don't want to say used him, but them interviewing him when they did showed you that they were ready to pounce
yes.
whenever they needed to.
Yes,
because they had no more boxes to check.
Right,
and you hate to look at it in that way. But the Patriots did it, and I think the Rooney Rule every year after the hiring cycle deserves another look by the league and how the teams are manipulating it or using it, and really is it within the spirit of the rule, the way it's being utilized.
As we've talked about, because they were doing so many of their interviews virtually, it's not like they didn't have a lot of candidates – a lot of black candidates for the job. Like, and you know, they're decision makers. They've got a lot of, Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles. I think, I don't want to say they're above the Rooney Rule, but I feel as if their diversity they weren't manipulating it, you know?
I know what you're saying. I think that when I say manipulating it, I feel like, when you do anything to observe a rule just because you feel like you have to and you can't move until you do, you are – it's not the spirit within the spirit of the rule if you don't take Eddie George seriously as a candidate.
Right.
And I'm not sure they ever did. I mean, he wasn't a serious candidate for the job.
No, I guess he wasn't.
Yeah, so I think that
– so that's not in the spirit of the rule.
Yeah.
Okay. Well
– but it's a kind of a moot point, but maybe right. this will help Eddie George's profile – moving what? Forward, and his own experience in interviewing for a head
yes,
coaching job.
Yes.
So in that way, it
moved,
is valuable.
They moved quickly is mm-hmm. my point.
They did.
Like when they moved as fast as they did, it was a surprise. It was just the Bears were ready to go.
We had Big Z on yesterday. Yeah. I think we all thought best case scenario by Friday.
Yeah.
By Friday, we'd have a coach. By Friday, we'd have a press conference or we'd have news and all week long, we'd wonder, Mike McCarthy, who thought you know, the highest floor and the most likely and sensible plan B. He was plan B. And then we didn't really have
Todd
faith.
Monken, you thought, was kind of a dark horse.
Coming in hot as a dark horse.
Yeah.
You never quite knew. I think all of those contingency plans were being discussed and examined because of the lack of confidence that the Bears could pull this off.
I totally agree.
And that doesn't, that's not necessarily
totally agree with you.
Mean, but who thought that they were capable of doing this? This was a franchise we heard coming in that since Matt Eberflus was fired had been known for botching every big decision.
Right.
Every in-game decision, every out-of-game decision. The Bears are the team that couldn't get things done and couldn't close. You know what happened yesterday? They closed.
Yeah, it's hard to believe.
They closed the deal.
They did, and they got a guy that, you know, I think everyone should be excited about. I mean, I get it. The Lions, it all the injuries finally caught up to them, and that loss, divisional round loss to Washington was, you know, embittering, and there were some crazy play calls. There was a really good play call in that game where he had his two running backs. They did a was it a pitch out or a handoff and then a shovel
double shovel.
That was a hell of
well designed, really clever, and really you we'll see more of those
turnover
things.
Play. They had a lot of turnovers in the game.
We'll get into this, but I think that the big picture discussion also part of it will revolve around explaining or understanding the difference between Ben Johnson coming to the Bears now and, to me, when Matt Nagy came to the Bears in 2018.
Yeah, we'll get into that. We'll talk about all that stuff.
Because there are differences, but it is very similar as well.
The Caleb Williams difference is the big difference. And Caleb, we will play that audio from when he was on with the brother St. Brown and talked about, selfishly, I want an offensive guy because I want to – you know, be able to play with a guy for whatever he said, 14, 15, 17 years.
In 19, 17, 15, he's going backwards.
Okay. I mean,
15 look. Years. In 15 years, you know how old Ben Johnson will be? 53.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson's a young man, 38
right.
years old.
38.
He was born in 1986. He's coming here
incredible.
As a first-time head coach with designs on being here for a very long time. And if Caleb Williams
here's hoping.
Is now in sync with his head coach, the first year, the apprenticeship, the however you want to refer to it, on-the-job training, however you want to categorize it, it's a new start for everybody. You're hitting reset. You're not hitting rebuild, but Caleb Williams now has a chance to use that experience to his advantage and have the expertise of a guy who is really innovative offensively.
All right, we have a lot of people who want to talk about it. We will get to your phone calls today, but we've got the pick six coming up next, and we're going to break down the Bears hire from a lot of different directions. We get an opportunity to talk to a lot of different elements of this hire and what it means moving forward and really how crucial it is for the young quarterback. We'll get into all of that. We'll talk about, sadly, the national championship and how that thing ended up, where Ohio State did pretty good for themselves, and will
Ryan Day is a national championship coach.
Is he fired? Are you calling for his head? This
no,
morning?
I don't. I think he's probably get a raise.
Yeah.
He can't get a promotion, but you got to give him credit.
Pretty interesting. Like Michigan wins last year, and then Ohio State wins this year. Just from a rivalry standpoint, it's pretty.
And from a big picture standpoint, Big Ten
big
supremacy.
Ten.
You know, they
big
have back to back national championships,
that's
establishing
right.
itself as the best football conference.
Well, SEC
in the country,
shut out 2 years running.
Just saying,
doesn't happen very
facts
often.
Facts are facts.
That is the truth. The Midwest rules college football.
Amen.
No doubt about that. All right, we've got the pick six next. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What was your immediate reaction to Ben Johnson being hired by the Bears as the new head coach? Is it a win for the franchise? Is it a victory for Caleb Williams, getting a guy who can develop him and he can get old with?
Yeah, it sounds like a perfect marriage. Look, I my reaction was like, wow, holy gosh. You know, like the reaction is, boy, the Bears are paying top dollar. I mean, you knew that right away. You knew, I think there were a couple of things. I had heard some stuff over the weekend that, you know, his personnel guy, this guy from Washington, was interviewed. I mean, the guy had been for 22 years in Detroit, and he was supposedly close with them, and he was interviewing for the Raiders job, and you're, you know, just getting yourself worked up so that the idea being that he didn't want to take this job because he wanted to be able to control his own personnel guy. And that was the one thing that I said that would stop me. If I felt that they couldn't get a candidate because the general manager was a hindrance, then I was all on board with making a change. And I was gearing myself up to get upset about that. So when I heard that they had signed him, I thought, huge win for the franchise. Huge win for the franchise. They got the top guy in this hiring cycle. They got a guy they can grow old with. They got a guy who did wonders with Goff. They got a guy who ran, I think, 40% of his offense was play action. And the Bears had the fewest play action plays of any team in the league. And it makes you feel like, finally, maybe they're going to run some play action. Maybe they're going to keep the quarterback from getting sacked 60-something times. Now, they got a lot of work to do with the offensive line, too. But it's a great beginning to a new era in Bears football.
Mully, you're exactly right. It's a great day to be a Bears fan. I think this is what everybody wanted. There are some things to worry about. But for right now, at least during this question, it was a win for Ryan Poles. You know, how about George McCaskey getting the best of Tom Brady? I mean, whoever thought that George McCaskey would beat Tom Brady at something? I thought that was something fun to consider. Or is this all about the president? I mean, is this the Kevin Warren effect? Is that part of what's going on, that this is going to be a different Bears moving forward? And then how much truth was that report that Ben Johnson was interested in this job. Ryan Poles wanted to fire Matt Eberflus before the start of last season, and he wasn't allowed to do so. And then Ben Johnson kind of was in a holding pattern and was always thinking about the Bears and not really into the other teams. I'm just more surprised how fast it all happened, right? I mean, the fact that he never went to Vegas, he never came to Chicago for those in-person visits. I thought this might happen by Thursday or Friday, but I definitely did not expect it to happen Monday afternoon.
That's what made the reaction one of surprise and shock. You heard the news and thought, really? I thought that he was going to at least interview in Vegas. I thought that he was at least going to sit down with Tom Brady and consider going there where the thought was, the perception was. Even you talk to people around the league that the Raiders were going to be able to pay Ben Johnson more money than the Bears ever would dream of paying a football coach, and they would lose him to the Raiders,
yep,
because the Bears seldom get their guy. But they got their guy. That's the hardest thing to grasp and hardest thing to believe. They got their guy, and it is a new era at Hallis Hall. This is the biggest victory of Caleb Williams' rookie season because he's the reason, above all else, that Ben Johnson is here. The concepts and the alignment and all the things that are theoretical arguments that make a lot of sense, especially if you're a football coach and you want symmetry and you want all the things you want power and all the things that head football coaches want. Bottom line is it's harder to find a quarterback that you think you can win with and because of. And Ben Johnson sees that in Caleb Williams. And that more than anything else, I think, lured him here. The idea and the potential of coaching him and having a great quarterback to follow to wherever the Bears are going. And right now, they're going in the right direction because they made the right choice. There are a lot of things that are, you know, implied by this move. You mentioned Kevin Warren. We'll get into that. You mentioned the presence of Ryan Poles. We'll get into that. But the bottom line, Caleb Williams being here helped lure Ben Johnson to Chicago, and that is why it's a new day for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
That's the voice of Brad Biggs. 7 o'clock this morning is Biggs time. Who in the Bears organization looks the best coming out of this process? And how will this be different than other offensive coordinators who became head coaches? Is there a good comp you have in mind?
Boy, I hope that it's more like Matt LaFleur. I hope that it's Kevin O'Connell. I hope that it's more McVay than McDaniels. That's what you're looking for. The guy that seamlessly steps into a bigger role, has a stronger voice, and it carries as a head coach in a way that you're not sure he ever had to worry about carrying as an offensive coordinator. There's such a difference. It feels like not that long ago, endured the Matt Nagy era, where we saw him coming in hot, had a great 2018. We were all happy and naming the plays and dancing at Christmas. And then Matt Nagy, for whatever reason, wasn't the right guy to be the head coach. Didn't have all that it took to be the CEO of this organization. Ben Johnson has to be different. He has to be more like O'Connell and McVay and LaFleur. Those are guys that are easy to see. You want to, you know, emulate and copy. We have too many examples of offensive coordinators who didn't have the voice, because it is different being a head coach. As far as who looks best in this process in the Bears organization, this was Kevin Warren's best day as Bears president. There's no question about it. You have to give him credit because this is the guy with the grandiose plan, with the lofty rhetoric, who talks big and dreams even bigger. And this is thinking big. Going out and not being outbid for Ben Johnson. Committed financially to getting the guy who is the number one guy on the market. This was Kevin Warren backing up everything that he said with actions that really supported his words. So this, to me, was as much to do with Kevin Warren as anybody in that organization.
I like the comp, David. Let's cross our fingers that this is more McVay than McDaniels. Let's hope that's what's going on moving forward for the Bears. I think you're right about Kevin Warren, but I'm going to up you one. You know, you guys talked about the report that it's $13.5 million potentially going to the Bears' new head coach. How about George McCaskey? You said that that was the best day for Kevin Warren as the president. I won't disagree with that at all. In fact, I'll totally endorse that. But I could also say that this might have been the best day for George McCaskey as the chairman of the Bears, because he, at the end of the day, is the one that has to give the resources to Kevin Warren and to Ryan Poles to make something like this happen. And don't forget, you've got a whole bunch of coaches at Hallis Hall that are going to get paid by the Bears next year, plus a whole new group of coaches that are going to come in and get paid by the Chicago Bears next year. So I actually think George McCaskey had his best day as the chairman of the Chicago Bears.
I think that I think everybody had a good day. I think they all did. I think Ryan Poles had a good day. I don't think anybody thought he was going to be in charge of the Bears when they hired this guy, because no one thought that Ben Johnson wanted him, to be brutally honest. So
that's true.
I think
that's so true.
I think, you know, he had his own guy and all this. The Bears are thus far different with Kevin Warren as the boss. That's the truth. Whether, you know, George has been here a long time, whether he finally had a good day and won one, I don't know that you credit him, because what has changed? Well, he's now spending money because he's been told by the president that he's got to spend money, that they can't go on the cheap. I think that they've tried to act like a class operation. I think, you know, I got to tell you, I find the whole Ben Johnson thing so amusing over things like the fact that the guy that encouraged him to get into coaching, John Shoup, a former Bears offense.
I heard from him yesterday. That's a great memory, though.
I mean, isn't that something else? Unbelievable
the irony
fact
of
the guy's life. He went to North Carolina.
Yes,
and he majored in mathematics and computer science.
Yes.
I mean, come on, man. Like, the guy must be smart. I like that.
Do you think clock management is going to be a problem?
He also worked for Adam Gase. Did you see that?
Right.
I'm just saying.
Big eyes.
They're just weird.
A lot of connections.
Kind of connections,
yeah, that's
when
funny.
You look at
that's
it.
Funny.
But yeah, I'd say good for Kevin Warren and good for the Bears and good for everyone up there. It's a good hire.
Molly, I got a question for you and Hawk.
That's the voice of Jared Payton. He'll be with you guys at 9 this morning. Do you like the idea that the 38-year-old Johnson, reportedly set to hire 52-year-old former head coach for the Raiders and the Saints, Dennis Allen, as his DC? Is it good to have a former head coach as an assistant, even one with a 26-53 record as a head coach? How about Adam Schefter reporting Johnson is putting together a star-studded staff?
That's great news. I mean, that, you know, I think one of the things that is kind of blows you away is the Bears have moved so quickly here, which is an absurd thing to say given how long the process has gone. But other than the Patriots, they are able to put together a coaching staff. They're not the last. This is not the last guy hired. This is not somebody trying to put together a coaching staff that is as inexperienced as the one George Halas had for the first ever Bears team, right? I mean, well, they didn't have the game, so of course it was inexperienced. This is a good thing. You know, Dennis Allen, you know, just to reverse the idea, if you hire a defensive-minded coach and he's got an offensive guy, that guy, if he does well, could get a head coaching job. Dennis Allen's been a head coach twice.
Twice.
No one's in line to hire him as a head coach, and that's not a shot. That's just the reality of where he is. He could be here. He's a grown man who could be here for a very long time, and he's a good defensive coordinator. He could do very well at that job. You know, you mentioned if they get the special teams guy. That guy's been a head coach. You want as many people. You want a staff where you feel like if some guy leaves or has to be fired for whatever reason, you're not now desperate to find someone because your best coach is gone. You want a star-studded staff. That's a great idea. It means the Bears are investing in the guy, not just with his contract, but with the contracts of his assistants. It's an excellent sign.
Well said, Mully. Excellent. Hoping that this does happen. You know, leading candidate as the DC is the word on the street out there about Dennis Allen. And, you know, to your point, even after getting fired as a head coach, he always ended up like right back in the league as a DC. So he must be doing something right. That experience also will definitely help. I hope, you know, we're giving Kevin Warren credit, and I agree with you guys on the credit that we're giving him. Hopefully Kevin Warren's got the plumbing all under control, if in fact the Saints interim ex-head coach and special teams coach is coming to Chicago. We could get into that audio later on if you guys want.
Okay, that's a tease. Wow. I have no idea what that's referenced to, but
no,
I like the idea of getting to it later. This feels like it's a detailed plan being executed. This feels like Ben Johnson has given this a lot of thought, had a lot of conversations, because if Dennis Allen's recruitment or Dennis Allen's impending arrival is something that is the next headline within an hour of Ben Johnson agreeing to the job, then it tells you that they have had conversations. I don't know what the connection is between Dennis Allen and Ben Johnson, but it's got to be something that is either linked by an agent, by a colleague. They haven't necessarily worked together, but it doesn't matter because, Mully, you're exactly right. What you want in your defensive coordinator, what you want in your staff, when you're 38 years old, a head coach for the first time in the NFL, you want people who have done it before, been there and done that. And I think Dennis Allen fits the criteria. In many ways, don't cringe, in many ways, he is Matt Eberflus light. Or he has met Eberflus's profile, the failed head coach who is a very good defensive coordinator with a reputation for being just that. I don't want to say he's an elite play caller, but he is a respected one. So he would come here and bring that kind of credibility. He would also bring a 4-3 scheme, which would be compatible with a lot of the talent, so you don't have a roster that is incompatible with the scheme being brought to town. And then Darren Rizzi, respected as one of the best special teams coordinators in the league, a guy that did a pretty decent job, respectable job as the interim head coach. And if you have a staff with that kind of experience, it kind of makes you feel better about having a guy that's never been a head coach before.
Oh, boy, good question.
That's the voice of Coach Wannstedt. We're talking to him at 8 o'clock about this Bears hire. Maybe get into Ohio State, Notre Dame as well. Is your enthusiasm for Ben Johnson somewhat tempered by the horrendously awful trick play against the Commanders that helped give the Lions game and their season away? Does it remind you of the timing of Matt Nagy's arrival?
Well, I assume this question was included just so we don't get carried away and drunk with enthusiasm over Ben Johnson coming to Chicago. There are signs, there are going to be plays, and there are going to be things that we refer to that don't really reflect well, and sometimes you can get too cute. When you have a collection of plays that some of them are created. Yeah, I wondered what the name of the play was that Jameson Williams threw that interception on. And they probably gave it a clever name like Matt Nagy used to do back in the day. I don't think that any one play, just like I don't think any one game, is a referendum on a coach's candidacy anywhere. It's more of a body of work. And I do hope, though, in reference to Nagy, this is the one thing we're going to have to talk about and look at and keep an eye on. You don't want him to just be a play collector. You want him to have a collection or an encyclopedia of his offense that everything makes sense. Everything is sequential. Everything that is logical. And you call plays in the first quarter to set them up for the fourth. And I think when you watch the Lions, as we've been able to do in the division over the last couple of years, you do see that. Now, it helps to have Penei Sewell. It helps to have Amon-Ra St. Brown and David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. Yeah, those guys, they're not coming with him. But I think that they showed that he can call really intelligent games when you have the weapons. And I think the Bears have some weapons. Now they have to rebuild the offensive line and make Ben Johnson look even smarter.
I know that when the Bears were talking to Pete Carroll, I wanted them to ask about why in the world they threw the ball on the goal line against the Patriots and the ball was intercepted instead of giving it to Marshawn Lynch. Do you think that at some point on Sunday or Monday, whenever they were allowed to officially, air quote, talk to Ben Johnson again, do you think that play was even addressed? Did it need to be addressed?
No.
My question was this. Did Campbell radio over to Ben in that game and say, okay, give me your best trick play we haven't used yet, right? And then that's why they did it, or did he call it? I would love to know the answer to that. You know, the difference between him and Nagy is Ben Johnson really called the plays. He is the play caller. There's no, you know, who's hiding behind that laminated piece of paper. You know, who's actually – Ben Johnson is a play caller. He's going to continue to call the plays here in Chicago. I would prefer to remember the shovel pass play that we had in that game. And Tom Brady on the broadcast, David, saying, you know, I've never seen that in my life.
Yeah.
Like, let's hold on to that. But I understand the question. I now want to know who called the play, you know, who ordered the code red, if you want to go that route.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that when Nagy was hired, and again, these two things are not near alike, but when he was hired, that was the game, that's the Tennessee game. Tennessee beat the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs were up 21-3 or something, and they beat them 22-21. Wasn't that the final score of that game? And he called a terrible game in the second half of that game. And there is even questions about whether Andy Reid had taken over play calling, and he hadn't. And it was Nagy who called it like a real failure on his part. But the Bears were interested in him, and he said that he liked their quarterback, and so they hired him to work with Mitch. I don't think they're comparable, because I think what happened with the Lions is that they had gotten so beaten up by the end of the year, their defense couldn't stop anybody, and their defense had absolutely no luck stopping Washington. They couldn't do anything against Washington. So it was all on Ben Johnson and that offense. And I do think they probably were pulling every trick out of the bag, trying to get some explosive plays. If you remember, the quarterback threw picks in that game. He didn't have a great game, and they needed him to kind of stand on his head a bit and perform incredible mastery, and he couldn't do it. And that's why they lost that game. They turned the ball over. The conditions worked against them, but really it was their defense could not stop Washington at all. And you know, it just felt like they had to keep scoring and scoring and scoring, and that's kind of where their season went. Makes you more than anything else wonder about the Vikings. How do they lost that game and then lost again once the playoffs start?
Your question implies that he ever did make good decisions.
Voice of Mike Florio. He's here at 844 from Pro Football Talk. There have been plenty of people rushing to Lamar Jackson's defense after the presumptive MVP fell to 3-5 in the postseason. How responsible do you hold him for that record? Is it lost on you that Peyton Manning had the same record before beating the Bears in the Super Bowl the following season? Will Lamar ever win a Super Bowl?
That's a fun question. A good thing to talk about after that game. You know, they had problems in the snow. I mean, it was as simple as that. They couldn't hang on to the ball. And, boy, that was rough. That was a tough game. You know, obviously, the tight end had the ball in his hands and should have caught the ball, and that game would have been tied and heading to overtime. But, you know, he dropped the pass. So these things happen, and the conditions were awful. And I think that was everyone defending Lamar. But Lamar, he did not have the greatest game. I mean, when he had the ball and they didn't turn it over, they scored pretty much at will. But unfortunately, there were mistakes. I hope he's Peyton Manning. I hope that he is. And I guess you could say that Mahomes is sort of playing the role of Tom Brady, although Mahomes isn't the guy that's beating him straight up every year. I just think that Lamar has had these unbelievable historic seasons and then fallen apart in the playoffs for whatever reason. And again, this time it's because someone dropped the ball. He probably did enough to at least get them into overtime. But it is hard to win in the NFL. And, you know, it just speaks volumes about how difficult the position is and how much blame you get as opposed to credit.
Well, Lamar Lamard in the postseason, and you get all the credit or you get all the finger pointing. You get one or the other as the quarterback. Are the MVP votes already due in?
It's already been voted for.
So it's game, set, match. Yeah. Maybe they should wait. Maybe they need to change that a little bit because, you know, it was close, and then the guy he was close with ended up, you know, leading his team to a victory, and Lamar turned the ball over. It wasn't just that Mark Andrews dropped that two-point conversion, and again, Lamar helped them get into that position. They had way more offense, but when you turn the ball over as a team three times, you don't win a whole heck of a lot of games. And again, Mully, as you pointed out, and I wanted to say, you know, Patrick Mahomes, like Tom Brady or like Michael Jordan, kept a lot of great players from winning championships. I think Lamar is going to need to get into the NFC if he wants to at least get to the Super Bowl, let alone win a Super Bowl.
The Peyton Manning comp is a good one. Lamar Jackson is an MVP caliber quarterback. He has a playoff record that is not something that he is proud of. He did have a game where he turned the ball over too much. They're not there without him. I never like looking at one game, one failure, and letting that define a season or a career. It was unfortunate timing. He did have a really bad day in terms of turning the football over, and he does need to protect the ball. I didn't like his post-game demeanor necessarily. I thought that, boy, he was the happiest loser I've ever seen at that level when he was smiling with Josh Allen right away. And that surprised me as much as anything, the fact that he was as accepting.
But he was cussing on the podium.
And then the podium. Yeah, the podium was a little bit more frustration, but you saw initially it was like that was a surprising look to a guy who had just basically lost a playoff game because he fumbled his way. You know, they gave it away. And so the Ravens are 3-6 in the playoffs since the beginning of 2018. This is one of the better regular season teams that in the last, you know, in the John Harbaugh era. They just can't get over the top, and they haven't won a Super Bowl in a very long time. So, yeah, it's fair criticism. The Peyton Manning comp is a good one, but I don't think that Lamar Jackson did anything in the playoffs to make me feel differently about his MVP candidacy, Dustin. I think if you voted now, you'd have to look at that. I mean, he still had an unbelievable season.
I had the same reaction to the way he was smiling and all that. I wondered if he was embarrassed. I just wondered.
Could have
after
been.
After I heard him
could have been.
Cussing at the podium, I wondered if he just didn't know how he was supposed to react.
Could have been some nervous anxiety. Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
What will you remember most about Notre Dame-Ohio State national championship game from Monday night? Did the right team win?
Well, I think I'll probably remember Jeremiah Smith in third down being isolated one-on-one with Christian Gray and Will Howard throwing the ball up and hoping that the best receiver in the country would come down with the ball, and he did. Key moment. Notre Dame gets a stop there. Maybe it's a different outcome. I don't think I ever felt like Notre Dame was coming back from 31-7. They gave it a valiant effort. I loved seeing Notre Dame on that stage compete. I loved hearing Marcus Freeman, who I think is as good of a fit as Notre Dame as you can find in college football in terms of matching coach with program. He has the lofty rhetoric, he has the passion and charisma, and he's a tremendous representative of everything that Notre Dame football wants to be. Ohio State was just better. They're deeper. They're more talented. I think you had a sense at midseason that Ohio State was going to be one of the teams in the national championship mix. And frankly, the Michigan game and outcome was more the exception and not the rule. They had a bad day at the worst possible time. They lost to Michigan, and everyone wanted Ryan Day gone. So this shows you that the power and I think the beauty of the college football playoff is that it allows coaches to coach their teams so they start to ascend at the right time of the year. You can still improve even though you lose a game, And if you lose in November, if you lose in October, all hope is not lost because Ohio State just proved that you can start peaking at the right time. And if you do, you can be a champion.
As Stacey King would say, too big, too strong, too fast, too good. Notre Dame, 18-play drive. We played the cut in the pregame show, an epic opening drive, and then Ohio State just absolutely punched Notre Dame in the mouth. I believe Ohio State scored on five consecutive possessions. They punted just once. David, you're right. There was a valiant effort. I wonder how many Notre Dame fans even stuck around, for the end of that contest, because that one was really, really hard to watch, and I do question the game plan a little bit, but I guess this isn't the time and the place to do that.
Well, I think that I have a lot of different feelings. First of all, it's like it was an incredible college football season, and it was the longest college football season we've ever seen. And, you talk about Ohio State in another world, three years ago, they would not be in the playoffs. They would not make it to the national championship game. They would not have won that title. They would. Ryan Day would have been fired.
They wouldn't have been the Final Four. They would not have made the Final Four.
Not a chance they could have made it. So that's a year ago. And Ryan Day, if they don't make that, Ryan Day is in serious trouble. You lose to Michigan 4 years running. I'm telling you, in a different world, if it wasn't this year, last year, he may have been run out. And, Notre Dame losing to Northern Illinois at the beginning of the year, I mean, they did an amazing job of coming back and doing everything they did. I wonder if Notre Dame was a year early or a couple years early. Seems like they're getting a pretty good feel on how to handle the NIL and how to handle the portal.
Yeah.
And the guys that they brought in all made contributions for them this year. I just wonder if Notre Dame is better equipped than other teams, especially after all the money they made this year to kind of reinvest in their football program, and we'll see if they can change anything moving forward. But the right team won. What did they have? 6 of 6 third down conversions in the first half of that game, and I believe the quarterback hit his first 13 passes. I mean, my God, they just did whatever they wanted to do, and you couldn't stop them. And, Notre Dame's defense did not turn up, didn't compete in that game, and that was the sad part of it, especially on some of those big third downs and that one at the end of the game you're talking about as well. All right, there we go. That is that's the pick six. We're going to get to the extra point next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Does hiring Ben Johnson make the Bears a playoff team in 2025? What is Ben's number one priority?
I think it makes the Bears, if not a playoff team, a playoff contender. It's the NFL. You don't have to wait very long to put yourself back in position to make a run at the postseason. And I think this hire signals that. If we believed going into the season the Bears had a roster that should deliver more wins than losses, we are agreeing that the biggest problem was coaching and late game decision making and the handling of the roster and the lack of accountability. Ben Johnson's number one priority is establishing his relationship with Caleb Williams and getting on the same page with the prize quarterback that you still think has potential to be a great one. His second order of business should be rebuilding the offensive line. He's known for his running game schemes. He's known for his pass protection emphasis. You look at Detroit, they're a play-action passing team. They know how to protect the quarterback. It's more than just Penei Sewell. It's the way that he protects the quarterback with schemes and with movement and all the things with motion. So this is a good sign. Rebuilding the offensive line is second to establishing a relationship with Caleb Williams. And then third, maybe third most important, but I think it's overall, you'll see it in everything he does. Setting a standard where accountability is more than a buzzword. It's a way of doing business at Hallis Hall.
Hopefully this is a new way of doing business up at Hallis Hall. Ben Johnson is the new head coach. Definitely a step in the right direction. Obviously, I'm a guy who's predicting the Bears to win double-digit games all the time. His knowledge of the North, Mully, you mentioned it earlier. That is a big, big plus. Here's my only concern. Last draft, the Bears obviously picked Caleb Williams. 8 out of 10, 9.5 out of 10 NFL draft experts said take Caleb Williams. There was one or two every once in a while that said maybe you should think about Jaden Daniels. Everybody is assuming that Ben Johnson is the slam dunk, home run, game-winning field goal from 50-plus hire as the head coach. Now, some would say that right now Jaden Daniels is better than Caleb Williams, sure looks like it, and maybe is the best quarterback in the NFC North, and where would he rank in the NFC? So hopefully the Bears didn't make a mistake here and went with what everybody thought was the best guy out there. Hopefully this is not the same comp. That's what I'm a little bit nervous about. But, yes, it looks like a step in the right direction. But as much as we beat up the Bears about the process, now maybe did it happen too quick?
Wow. Yeah. That just stops all momentum of the question. I think... the Bears should view themselves as a playoff team in 2025. That should be their goal. They should try to get there. I think that this guy has the possibility of getting them to a top 10, top 5 offense. I don't know how quickly that happens, and I don't know if that happens without investing a lot into the offensive line, and I think that should be the priority. I think it's important for the Bears to find a couple of starters immediately, maybe draft one. They just need help. So invest some of that money. You got $75 million, just under $75 million, 74.8, whatever it is. Invest some of that in the offensive line. You're going to need your Penei Sewell. I don't know how you're going to get that. That's going to take a kind of a genius draft move. It seems like there are two very highly thought of left tackles that are in this draft. They're going to go pretty high, probably before the Bears pick at 10. It wouldn't bother me if the Bears decided to take the best offensive lineman available when they choose. So maybe that's overdrafting someone. It wouldn't bother me if they got a guy who's rock-solid 10-year player that they need to do that. They need to keep doing it in the second round as well. So I would invest draft capital into getting the offensive line right. I think that's going to be the key to doing the things he wants to do. I also wonder, and I know we got a break, and maybe we talk about this later, if Caleb Williams said so many nice things about Keenan Allen, how do you think Ben Johnson feels about him?
I think that's a good thing to look at when we come back, because that is one guy you wonder now, does he look at the Bears a little differently?
It's a great question. 312-644-6767. We're going to get to your phone calls. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Who was the best player you ever played with?
Probably Keenan.
That's a classic. That is Caleb Williams. It's Mully and Haw on The Score. That's Caleb talking about the best receiver that he played with. And he said in college it was Jordan Addison, and mm-hmm. that in the NFL, it was probably Keenan Allen, and everybody was like, what about DJ Moore?
Well, it's a fair question.
Yeah, it's a fair question. But, yeah. I mean, what about Keenan Allen? Is he done in Chicago? He is obviously out of contract, and I think we kind of assumed that given the fact that DJ's making money and that they drafted a top 10 pick last year, it's hard to, you know, they need more receivers, but does anything change now that you got a passing game coming
out? Well, Keenan Allen will be 33 in April.
Yeah.
He's coming off a season that was disappointing by his standards, yep. 70 catches in 15 games. And there were some drops that come to mind that were, you know, unlike Keenan Allen, at least what he did with the Chargers for all those years. My sense would be that the Bears won't need or want Keenan Allen as much as Keenan Allen may want or need the Bears. And I say that because of the Ben Johnson effect.
Right.
there will be wide receivers who want to play in this offense because of the way that we have seen Ben Johnson's offense scheme guys open. That's something that was missing with the last several years. So my sense would be that Keenan Allen said he wants to play with either the Bears or an LA team. Now this puts the Bears even probably more in the forefront of his mind. The problem will be, or the question will be,
scratch.
At what price?
Yeah.
He's not a $15 million a year receiver, not at 33, I don't believe. And if
he was making 20-something, right?
He was making 23 this year.
Wow.
I would say less than half of that, depending on what kind of cap space you have, depending on how much you value his contributions. Do you factor in the Caleb Williams factor? Do you consider his comments that he's the best player he's played with? And he would feel comfortable with having Keenan Allen as a safety net.
I don't know. I feel like the price of pay in poker has gone up. You know, they went out and they spent a lot of money on a coach and presumably on his staff, if indeed it's star-studded.
Mm-hmm.
And, I know there's no salary cap on that, and the salary cap is a reality. But, you know, do they need an offensive line more than a third receiver? Yes.
Yes.
To answer the question.
Yes.
Okay.
You should prioritize the offensive line. Then I think you'll be amazed at how open your receivers become when you have a quarterback that has time in the pocket.
So, you know, go get the kid from Kansas City, get the best offensive lineman on the market, and then draft some and, you know, sign some serviceable
Both,
guys too.
All of the above, more please.
Yes. There you go. I'm with you. All right. 312-644-6767. We've got our guy, Brad Biggs. He will be with us next, and we can talk to him about this hire and what it means moving forward. Mully and Haw on the Score.